Well, good morning. If you want a Bible, there are some at the back. Put your hand up. I've got a Bible. There's some of us in a few weeks' time going to Moldova. And it appears that the church in Moldova has a very high regard for the Word of God, which is great. But that works itself out in the way we treasure the book. And it seems that we shouldn't put our Bibles on the floor. Just checking if anybody had their Bible on the floor earlier. It also seems that the Word of God isn't something that should be on a phone. So I'm practicing with a book. So we're in, if you've got a church Bible, page 1172, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, can I move this? It's a bit threatening. Is that all right? John prayed. You were praying, John, and you said, and I want to repeat this because it's so much on my heart, God is for us. And sometimes we can maybe think that God is sort of pushing us or twisting our arm or pointing the finger. He's not. He's for us. And my heart kind of went up at that prayer. God is for us. And we're going to look at some stuff in this passage, some of which is quite negative. But it's not intended. It's there because God is for us. And he wants us to be righteous with him and in his place. So we've got this sort of double thing in this passage which we're going to look at. Now the background to all this is about how we live our lives as Christians, actually. We've been through Galatians step by step, and one thing has been very clear: salvation is by Christ alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. We've been underlining that. But having been saved, what then? How do we live our Christian lives? Where are the dangers? And Chris was preaching last week, earlier on from chapter 5, about freedom. Freedom from the sin, freedom from law. But he also warned us about how we use this freedom. And that is a very important thing. We're responsible for the choices we make. And Chris was warning us not to be diverted or distracted from God's path, God's highest, God's calling. You remember Paul writes, verse 13 of this chapter, you've got it, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." So we're going to look at the passage. You know, I borrowed this picture off Ian. What are those things? Anybody any idea?
Shackles.
Oh, right, okay. Fine. I just wondered if anybody knew what they were. Right, so moving rapidly on, fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's take it one piece at a time. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, you may in your Bible have, instead of flesh, you may have the words sinful. What did it say? Hold on. Sinful nature, that's it. Which kind of describes it. It translates it okay. That's in this context, that's kind of what it means. It means our fallen nature, the sinful nature that we inherited as children of our parents and grandparents and back through the centuries. That is our fallen nature of men, women and children. And the Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God. And it says walk by the Spirit. Walk, walk, walk. It's something you do. It's an active thing. It doesn't say sit. It doesn't say rest. It says walk. It's something you do. It's something you get up in the morning and you do it. Okay. But it's also, there's a conflict. There's two things here: the Spirit, the flesh. And if we move on into verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. So I'm reading from the old NIV, the old New International Version. If you've got a new International Version, the word sinful nature has become flesh again. There you go. So there's this conflict. We have flesh, we have spirit. There is a tension. They are opposed to one another. And it's important that we recognize this. Understand it, acknowledge it. This is a tension. This is a conflict which faces us all the time, every day. You know, if you're addicted to drugs, or you're an alcoholic, the first step in the cure is to understand and acknowledge the problem. Then you can build on that. And it's important that we understand that there is this tension. What God has done has saved us, but it's clear from the scriptures, it's clear from what Paul is writing here to the church in Galatia, you have to be careful. There is a tension here, which is why he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You see, these things are going on in parallel. And Chris was saying last week that we have to be careful. We have to, with the freedom that he's given us, this is the point. We haven't got freedom to do whatever we want. Why? Because what we want to do is influenced by these things. The flesh, the spirit. And we have to be careful. We have to be clear that we need to walk in the flesh. Walk in the flesh. Get it right, Mike. Walk in the spirit so that we do not follow after the desires of the flesh. Right. That's my point to start with. Right, now let's look at these things. Verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Here they are. Hopefully. There we go. Ooh, a bit small. Can you read those? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, the words will be slightly different in different translations of the Bible, but you get the idea. Now, this list is not exhaustive, he says, and the like means there are other things to add, but I had a look at these, and I divided them into four. Look at that. Four groups. And I just want to briefly look at all of them, because these, and hold in the back of your mind again, God is for us, not against us. But these things are brought to our attention so that we can be free of them, part of the freedom that Chris was speaking about last week. Let's dive in. Group one is related to sex. Now, the Bible is very clear that sex is a gift of God, and it's to be enjoyed as part of a stable, committed relationship that we call marriage. Very clear from the Bible. The flesh, the fallen nature, suggests otherwise. Illicit relationships within marriage, casual sex outside marriage, pornography, multiple partners and so on, are all included within these words, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Older translations, if you're looking at the old AV, it'll use the term adultery, fornication. The world says this is fine. The world says, go with the feeling. Feels okay, it's fine. Go with it. Young people at school, university, particularly vulnerable. It was the same when I was there. The world has not changed. If you watch period dramas on the television, you'll see it was as rife then as it is now. When temptation comes, the Spirit will prompt you. I will just want to backtrack to and quote something else. In John's Gospel, let me find it. This has just come to mind. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, that is you, to all who received him, how's it gone? That to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. He gave you the right to be a child of God. The word right also means power. There is a power and a right here. This is a promise of God. Very important. God is for us. When temptation comes, the Spirit will prompt you, and there is a power. Exercise the power in the Spirit of God to walk the walk. That is what we need to do. Now, moving on. Group two, idolatry, witchcraft. These are kind of religious things, spiritual things that are in opposition to God, things that come in the way. Now, maybe idolatry, witchcraft aren't particularly things that we think about or worry about in a literal sense, but there are things which can creep in. Chris was talking last week. He had this example of yeast, a little bit of yeast, a bit of sugar, a lot of gas. Yeast works its way in. God uses the symbolism of yeast in as a representative sin of sin, the way that it works its way into people's lives. Think about things that maybe come between you and Jesus. Because God is for us, we can be honest. When we look in the mirror, if we see these things, let's deal with them. That's the point. God wants us to be free of these things. Good things, job, possessions, cars, I don't know, you name it. These things are great. God's given them to us, but they can become idols. They can get in the way of our relationship with God because we find them hard to let them go. Group three, it's a whole long list of destructive social things there. Verse 15, last week, Chris was reading, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. These are things we need to recognize, even in a little bit. You know, you look at those things and think, oh, gosh. Yeah. Be honest. Look in the mirror. Walk in the Spirit. Ask God for the power of this. Ask him to set you free from reactions. Things which just come out. That is what walking in the Spirit is. Group four. Drunkenness. Revelries. In the Church Bible it says orgies. I think it means revelries. It seems to be, my reading of the lexicon is that it's related to drink. There you go. Not going to say any more. Blunt warning, though, at the end, isn't there? Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's face up to it. Deal with it. Right, move on. Now, we had a video, didn't we? Thanks, Chris. I really don't have... I could almost sit down immediately because, you know, it's all there. But I have got... I'm just going to get this because I had it anyway. Fruit. Okay. it's just a selection, but they're different, aren't they? Different types. I have actually got the banana that the pilot so desperately wanted, and I have got an apple. And I'm just going to take those as an example, just to repeat what was on the video, but to kind of maybe drive it in a little bit. Can you tell me what kind of tree this came off? An apple tree. Obvious, isn't it? Now, Ron, knowing your skill as a gardener, how hard would the apple tree have to try to produce a banana? A lot. In fact, it can't. And that's the point. No amount of effort by an apple tree will produce a banana. An apple is a fundamental sort of product. It's what came out of the apple tree quite naturally, without any effort. It just happened. Important things. The fruit of the Spirit. Note that it doesn't say fruits, but fruit. It's kind of a singular word. There's not lots of fruits. It's just fruit. It's all one. And these are the following, these are the characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or long-suffering. There's lots of, this is the problem. The different translations have different words. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, these fall into three groups. Here you go. Three groups. Maybe not that clear, but they were to me when I thought about it. So I'll try and get that across. First three, love, joy, peace, are kind of inward things that you find in your heart. They're not gifts in the sense of gifts of the Spirit. They're kind of graces. You can't imitate it. It's there or it isn't. You can't make it up. You can't counterfeit it. Some gifts can be counterfeited by the devil. You can be deceived. There can be false prophecies, stuff like that. You can't do that with these. These are different. These are something. These are fruit, actually, believe it or not. And it's, they're shown in the lives of the children of God. Love. Start with love. Now, this isn't slushy sort of love. This is agape. This is God's love. This is the God so loved the world that he gave. That is this love. This is a 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What a wonderful definition of love. That is the love that should be shining out of us. Challenge, huh? Joy. Joy is the Greek word chara. Chara's not here. What a great name. It means cheerfulness, it means delight, it means gladness. You recall the wise men, the magi, in Matthew 2, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That is the joy. The angels, when they came to the shepherds, they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." That is the joy. Jesus said, in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Joy. Knowing that God loves you. Confidence in the fact that God loves you. Peace. You know, peace is something that the world strives for, isn't it? Everybody wants peace. They yearn for it, and yet all we find in the world is stress and fighting. The UN sends peacekeepers to situations of civil strife, and they go armed with guns and tanks. That's peace, apparently. And this is how it's been down the centuries. Now, Jesus says this, "But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Here we go. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Love, joy, peace. These are things that God will give us when we walk in the Spirit of God. But now you think, maybe when I'm at home praying or sitting up reading the Bible and stuff, that's when I'll feel peace, when I shut out the world. But that's not actually what it means. Because out in the world there are people, awkward people, difficult people like most of us. There's problems, there's misunderstandings, there's ill health, there's all sorts of things going on in the world. Okay, how does your love, joy, peace work when you hit the real world? And that's the next three: long-suffering, kindness, goodness. How does it outwork itself? In that great passage in Corinthians chapter 13, the AV translates, it says in the one that we were looking at, I haven't got it here, have I? Love is patient, which means long-suffering. Love suffereth long, the AV says. It's not easily provoked. It's not angered. Keeps no records of wrongs. Long-suffering. Peter wrote this in his letter, 1 Peter 2. Slaves, in reverence. This is about sort of work situations, I suppose. I mean, he's talking about slaves. This is just an example, and maybe we can all relate to this. In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Your boss, I guess, is the way we think about it. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they're conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? So if you do wrong, you might expect to get ticked off, get into trouble. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus was our example. He's the one who suffered the most amazing injustice. But he took it. He didn't complain. He went with it. Long-suffering. Kindness. Kindness or gentleness, you might find in your Bible. It kind of means ready to forgive. To look out for opportunities to bless those that curse you. Kindness. Goodness. Quite similar, I guess. Not only to forgive your enemies, but to desire their good. Can you do that? To look for opportunities to bless them, to be willing to help them. Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount: love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. To do good and to delight in doing it, even to those who are again you. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The last three. Now, I like to look at these as our kind of response to God. Obviously, they do reflect also the way we interact with the world around us. Faithfulness means dependable, reliable, loyal. When God needs something to be done, does he think of you? Are you on his list? Isaiah chapter 6. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, that's Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go." Is that you? Is that you? Faithful, dependable, reliable, loyal. Okay, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, kind of humility. Humility before God, humility before others. Paul to the Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Self-control, the last one. Olympics. This came to mind, think about this. At the end of, some of you are probably completely bored and fed up with Olympics, and some of you probably never watched any of it, but it was on all night, and we got jet lagged because of Olympics. At the end of an event, there are winners and there are losers, aren't they? And the winners are ecstatic, and the losers are either distraught, disappointed, or completely out of control with kind of emotional breakdown. But all of them, winners or losers, tell of the hard work. The words hard work come up again and again, or came up again and again. Hours and hours, day after day, training, training, training. You know, family life put on one side, enjoyment put one side, parties, food, all those things. They were focused, determined, aiming for this point to win. And if they won, it was great. And if they didn't, it was bitterly, bitterly disappointing. But the story was the same. The aim, the focus, the self-control that puts aside everything else with this one aim in mind. That is the Christian. These things are a challenge, aren't they? The great thing is God's for us. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit, and these things will begin to happen. Now, I'm just going to whiz right the way back, because there was something in my notes which was just wonderful, and I didn't say it. Yeah, that's right. It was this, to walk in the Spirit. And Sue said this to me this morning. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? How do we practically do that? How do we walk? We're good at talking the talk. Can we walk the walk? And I think what we need to do is to realize that this is a choice. And we need to have this self-control, this active determination to draw on the power of God, to draw on the Spirit of God. Say, you promised this, Lord. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing this fleshy stuff still. This and this. Help me. And that is the honest way to come to God and to draw on the Spirit and in the morning to say, right, I want to walk your walk, Lord, today. And to be actively determined, to be controlled, to recognize the diversions, to recognize the things that will push you to one side and to go for it. Right, I'm going to stop. Summing up. Look, if any of the things on the left-hand side are issues, recognize it. And I just be honest in when you look in the mirror. What to do about it? Walk in the Spirit. That's the promise. Does it go? Walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That is the key. That is the answer. Look, tell someone about it. Either deal with it yourself. Honestly before God. But maybe it's right to share it with somebody, to be accountable to someone too, because God is for you. Do you see that? That's what I so like about what you said, John. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not pointing the finger. He's saying, I am for you. I just want you to be free of this. This is freedom. This is what Chris was speaking about last week. After the service, I think it's Derek, Susanna, a little prayer group over in the back. If that is right for you, go. Just let's not leave it, okay? I'm going to get rid of that. Back on this. Get rid of the flesh. Now, keep these 9 things in mind. That's what I want to leave with you. Pray for a daily, ongoing anointing of the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit was what Paul encouraged the church to do. Begin to see then how this will work out in your relationships with people, in your interface with the world. Beginning, I nicked the fruitfulness on the frontline emblem because we've been doing that in house group. And that's our frontline is where we interface with the world, and that's where the fruit of the Spirit will show. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and with God, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Grasp the promise. That's all I can say. Finished. We're going to sing, if the musicians come up. Store these things up in your heart. These are great. Just read it. Read it until it becomes part of you.